Welcome to Tech Talk Online, sponsored by Stratford University. You can listen to Tech Talk live Saturday mornings from 9 till 10. Find us online at federalnewsradio.com or hear us on the radio in the Washington, D.C. area on the following frequencies: 1500 AM and 103.9 FM HD2. We thank you for listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Interfacing complete. Please stand by. Now downloading Tech Talk Radio with Dr. Richard Schertz and Jim Russ. Tech Talk Radio, it's technology you can understand. And now, here are Dr. Richard Schertz and Jim Russ.
Welcome to Tech Talk Radio. We are in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. I'm Dr. Richard Schertz.
And I'm Jim Russ.
Well, it's nice being back in the United States again. I was in India.
Were you fleeing from something?
No, I was in India. I went over for graduation at our campus in New Delhi. We actually moved to a new building in Noida, which is the education hub. It's a suburb of New Delhi. I went up to look at another location up in Dirk, which is up in Chhattisgarh, which we're going to be opening up sometime near the end of the year. Mm-hmm. Things really look nice over in India. And we had a big discussion over how to produce an educational program that's good for the students in India. We like to say it's an American education with an Indian soul, because we incorporate in the general education requirements much of the Indian culture, mindfulness, happiness, and we build it into the program so that students get a taste of India as well as the skills that Americans like. So It's well received. I love to go over to India and talk to all of our students over there. And this week we've got lots of things to cover, a lot of activity going on. Amazon is now going to deliver to your car trunk rather than to your house.
So, I have some very strong feelings about this.
Yeah, and there's a new addiction out that has a name.
What's that?
If somebody's always taking selfies, it's called selfitis. So I'm going to talk about the psychology of selfitis.
Oh my gosh.
Amazon fake reviews are a big problem.
Really?
Bigger and bigger and bigger. And this week, they're trying to get a last gasp to save net neutrality. The Dems are trying to get something through Congress. We'll see whether that's actually going to happen. And we're going to feature the man who is co-founder of the internet malware company, anti-malware company, Malwarebytes. This is a program that I recommend, and I decided, well, why don't I just feature the guy who started it? He's from Poland, and he came to this country when he was 3 years old. And of course, it was a huge, huge mailbag.
There's a letter in your mailbox.
Ooh, very good.
Wow, look at that.
We got an email from Jim in Bowie. Dear Tech Talk, I listened to last Saturday, and you had an email where someone asked how you could reduce the cost of Verizon Wireless. And you mentioned that Verizon has a prepaid plan that they don't really advertise. So I went to the Verizon office in Bowie and asked about the prepaid plan. I explained that we bought our current phones from Apple. We have no desire to get their so-called free phone because we don't want to upgrade every 2 years, and that we're currently on month-to-month. So they were happy to switch me over to the prepaid plan. Our current plan gave us 6 gigabytes of data. When I switched to 2 prepaid plans, I got one cell phone, has 7 gigabytes of data, and the other one has 3 gigabytes of data. That's mine because I don't use much data. So we have a total of 10 gigabytes of data between the two phones. That's up from 6 gigabytes of data on the full plan, and I'm saving $75 a month.
That's crazy.
Got more data, cheaper rates. Mm. The prepaid plans are the way to go. And then what happens is that, now, prepaid plans actually have been in Europe for a long time. If you go to Europe, you go to Asia, they're all prepaid plans. And nobody has their cell phone built into the cost of the program, because you're paying anywhere from $20 to $30 a month to basically pay for your phone. And then you really don't get a free phone. You pay for it, but it's just an installment plan. But the trouble is, if you don't upgrade every 2 years, you keep paying that $20 to $30 a month. And so you're much better off getting a prepaid plan. And when you want to upgrade your phone, just go upgrade the phone. I think U.S. consumers are getting more informed, and prepaid plans are going to become more popular.
Okay, so how come, I mean, truth in advertising, how can they call it truly a free phone when it's not?
I know it's not. It's what they're saying is that your plan cost covers your plan and the phone is free.
Yeah, but it's not free.
It is not free at all. It is really misadvertising.
That's what I'm saying. How can they do that?
Well, just, you know, they can. They can. Because they can just say that the network costs that much.
All right, okay.
You know,
but it's not true.
It isn't true. And so, but now consumers are catching on, and they were hiding these plans. But now, because some cell phone companies are now beginning to push them, even Verizon is allowing people to switch over, and they're allowing people to discover it because they were losing too many people to the other carriers on prepaid plans. So, Jim, I'm glad you had a great success there on that prepaid plan.
Yeah, really.
We got an email from Doug in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Dear Dr. Schertz, hey, Jim and Mr. Big Voice. I've got a couple of short questions. First, do you see any problem with me shutting down my computer in the hibernate state? Now, I normally hibernate my computer rather than shutting it down because it allows for a quicker Windows 10 startup. Because when the computer ends in the hibernate state, it actually looks at the state of all the RAM and the state of the entire operating system. It saves that state to the hard drive. So when you boot up, it just loads up RAM as though nothing had ever happened. And you can boot up much faster because you don't have to open up all the applications. So he says, is there any problem with that? He said, now every week I'll shut down my computer and do a full startup. Well, Doug, that's actually not a bad idea because Hibernate does give you a quick startup. It's especially used for laptops when you just, you know, close the laptop. It'll go into a Hibernate mode for you. And it does allow you to get a faster startup. You are wise to reboot about once a week because poorly designed programs in Windows leave blocks of programs in RAM, and they don't clear the RAM. And so over time, you've got more and more RAM used by remnants of previously executed programs. And so if you shut down the computer, that clears out all that junk and it frees up your RAM. So I would say doing a clean reboot once a week is a good practice. And so no problem. It's a great idea. He had a second thing. I'm also doing an automated file backup to an imaged external hard drive. Now, if I create an external hard drive with an image on my main drive, I keep backing it up. Then if I get malware on my computer, aren't I just backing up the malware too? And how can I avoid that? Love your show. It's a great, very enjoyable and great information. Doug in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Well, Doug, the having a mirrored backup is really designed to protect you from hard drive failure or from somebody stealing your computer. It doesn't really protect you from malware that gets on your computer. You are going to back up that malware. That is true. Now, one thing is if you've got a backup, and somebody comes in and you get ransomware on your computer, you're not going to back up the ransomware and then you can restore your computer from the hard drive. Now, normally what happens if you get an infection on your computer, a normal infection that sort of causes problems, you can go back and restore your computer to a previous state. So if something happens and it's not working right, so your computer has multiple restore dates on it. Normally they're set every time you do an update, you know, a system update or a system patch, it will give you another restore date. So you can go into your computer, go back and you can restore it to a previous state, and you can do that restoration prior to the infection, and that will normally clean it up, but the mirrored backup is not going to protect you from that. But it's still good practice. I've got a mirrored backup on my computer. Actually, I've got a mirrored backup that I'm running on a little external hard drive. I just have it there because it's convenient. Then I've also got I'm doing a backup to Carbonite. Plus, I've got my pictures backing up to other cloud things. So I'm backing up places, multiple areas, and that really multiple cloud services. So I'm really covered no matter what. So having backups is a very good idea, and I think you're on the right track there. We got an email from Alan in Kansas. Dear Doc and Jim, I just got a new laptop with Windows 10. Periodically, when I try to save a file, I get this annoying pop-up that tells me to sign on to OneDrive, which, of course, is the cloud storage service offered by Microsoft. Now, I don't really use OneDrive for anything. I back up everything on Carbonite. And I hate this pop-up because then I have to remember my password to OneDrive. And then if I'm not hooked up to the internet, it keeps popping up all the time. This is so bothersome. Can I get rid of it? Well, the reason that OneDrive pops up is that it is listed in the startup items in your PC configuration. So probably Microsoft, when they, set up your operating system, they just installed OneDrive in the startup because they want to use OneDrive, and ultimately they want you to pay for more OneDrive storage. Now, what you can do, you can just simply disable OneDrive from starting every time you reboot your computer. So what you want to do is you can just right-click on the taskbar and choose Task Manager option, or it's easy. You can also do the shortcut Control-Shift-Escape, and that brings up the Task Manager. And then you choose More Details at the bottom. And then once you come up with more details, you can click on the Startup tab, and you'll see a list of programs that start up every time you reboot the computer, and you'll see OneDrive listed there. Simply highlight OneDrive and click Disable, and you're done. Now, the next time you start up, your OneDrive will not load, and it won't ask you to log into OneDrive, every time you try to save something. Now, if you never use OneDrive and never intend to use OneDrive, you can install it. Simply go to Settings and then go to Apps, or you can simply click on, the shortcut is Control-I, And then you'll get a list of apps that are installed in your computer. Scroll down to OneDrive, and you can click Uninstall. And then you can uninstall OneDrive, and you'll never see it again. Now, I've got the same system on my laptop. I didn't uninstall OneDrive because I occasionally back up stuff to OneDrive. I just don't want to use it on a regular basis to back up in real time every time I do something. Because I'm doing that backup in real time to my mirror plus to my Carbonite. We got an email from Alice in Alexandria. Dear Doc and Jim, help me with a big debate that I'm having with my son. Whenever I type a document, I use two spaces after every period. Whenever my son types a document, he uses one space after every period. He says that I'm old-fashioned and that two spaces slows him down and does no good. Now, what's the rule for typing documents?
That's a very good question.
This is a critical thing, and it probably is an age thing. I'm a two-spacer myself, and that comes from a long time ago. Well, this is the beauty, Alice. There was just a study done by Skidmore College, and the name of the study was, Are Two Spaces Better Than One? And so it's the effect of spacing following periods and commas. It appears in the current issue of Attention, Perception, and Psychophysics. Rebecca Johnson did the study. Now, what they did, they actually had students reading articles. Some had two spaces and some had one space. And what they discovered was that if there are two spaces after the period, it increased the reading speed of the average participant by 3%. Because they were able to register the end of the sentence quicker. Now, this is an average of 9 additional words per minute above their normal performance of the one-space conditions. So, based on the study at Skidmore College, Alice, I would say that two spaces has won round one of the competition. Let your son know this and enjoy the moment.
Well, but see, if you tell him this, he's going to be more steadfast because
yes.
He wants to do something different than mom.
That's exactly right. I'll tell you, this whole two-space, it started out with typewriters, which are fixed pitch.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got a fixed pitch typewriter. There's so much space between the letters that having two spaces between the sentences really looked good. Then when they went to variable pitch fonts that you have on computers, those fonts are spaced closer. So it turns out, in fact, that one space after the period looks okay because the variable space fonts are packed tighter. So people who grew up on a typewriter are two spacers. people who grew up typing on a computer tend to be one spacers. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's a generation gap. But I'm glad that the psychophysics analysis showed that two spaces are better.
Now, if you shift into italics, does that make a difference?
It could. It could.
See?
And
that's where two spaces would definitely be better than
one. It could. So that's another psychophysics test.
That's round two.
That is round two. So anyway, I just thought that was an interesting study. And
it is.
Alice, it came out at just the perfect time for your email. We got an email from Dennis in Arkansas. Dear Tech Talk, I heard that Apple slows down your phone as the battery degrades. I don't want this feature. I prefer the full capability of my phone and then simply recharge it more often. Can I disable the iPhone CPU throttling feature? Enjoy the podcast, Dennis in Arkansas. Well, Dennis, you can. They just did an upgrade. You're going to have to make certain you got the latest operating system, iOS 11.3. And you'll see that when there will be a new icon in that operating system called Battery Health. So you can click on Battery Health, and there are a couple of options. One is option is maximum capacity, which it gauges your battery's health. So like the maximum capacity, like it only charges up to 90% of what it did when it was new. And so you really want your maximum capacity as close to 100% as possible. And that lets you know the actual capacity of your battery relative to its new state. Brand new batteries are 100%, and it'll just gradually drop over time. The second option there is peak performance capability. This will let you know whether your device is in slowdown. If the battery currently reports that it supports normal peak performance, then the device has never experienced any kind of reason for slowing down or shutting down. And so there's no throttling. But if your battery is unable to deliver the necessary power at peak, then it will automatically apply performance management, which means that your iPhone's processor is slowed down. So if you go back to the peak performance capability and you see performance management listed, then you know your CPU is being slowed down. And at that point, you have an opportunity to basically opt out of the power management. Now, what Apple says, if you do that, your iPhone may occasionally just turn off if there's too much of a battery demand and it can't meet it. Now, if your battery, though, has these issues, I would recommend you replace it, because you can replace your iPhone battery now for $29 in 2018, because IBM got so much blowback with this CPU throttling feature that they reduced the normal cost of battery replacement from $79 to $29 for 2018. You see, people had this sneaky feeling that Apple was slowing the computer down after about 2 years so that you would be encouraged to get a new iPhone. It was part of a planned obsolescence.
Mm-hmm.
That is the root of the blowback.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And now, Apple denies that. They're saying they're just trying to take care of the customer.
Of course they do.
But because of that blowback, they are offering a deal on the back. And the good news is, I was just checking on that, they because of this, there was a huge demand for battery replacement, and they said like a two-month backlog to order your battery. Apple has said the backlog is done. You can go in now, and you can get a new battery right away.
But you have to do this at an Apple store.
It has to be in an Apple store.
Which means you have to set up an appointment. Generally, you have to if you're going to have something done.
Yes.
Have you ever been?
Here's the thing at an Apple store.
Okay.
If you're not going to buy something, you need an appointment.
Right.
If you're going to buy something, no appointment
right.
required.
Exactly. Okay. So, but you can only get this price at an Apple store.
Yes. Only at an Apple store. And it used to be that they would not replace the battery unless it failed the test. Now, doesn't matter.
Can they do it while you wait, or do you have to leave the phone for a day or two?
It depends on how much work they have. There is, it's a fair amount of, it takes probably an hour to replace
right.
the battery because it's glued in.
Right.
So they have to take off the screen, and the battery is like a
little bladder, right?
It's like a thin bladder. It looks like a thin, aluminum foil bladder, and they have to very carefully remove it and then solder the new one back in. So it takes a while. So they were saying when there was this backlog, and they were doing so many battery changes, you'd have to leave your phone there for a few days. So, but now I think it's much less time now.
So we've had this discussion before. The battery is basically, because it's thin, it's basically the size of the phone.
That's right. Basically, the size of the screen.
So the newer phones that are bigger, theoretically, do they have a longer battery
life?
They
do. That's why the iPhone Pluses have higher battery life. The bigger the phone, the better the battery life.
I'm so smart.
You are really on it, Jim.
I've been reading stuff while you were gone.
You are just a tech guru there.
Listen, what a difference 10 years has made.
We love your emails. Now you can email us. techtalk@stratford.edu, and we'll cover your email at the next show, or I may email you back immediately if it's an emergency.
Saturday morning, and this is Tech Talk Radio, heard on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 103.5 FM HD2, 103.9 FM HD2. Watch us do the show by downloading the Periscope app to your device and following us at WFED Tech Talk.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
Ready to make a real difference in 2018? A degree in cybersecurity, digital forensics, or networking and telecommunications could help you secure your future as you help secure the world. Stratford University is now enrolling for 2018. Classes start January 8th with career-focused IT degree programs to fit your busy schedule, on campus and online. Let Stratford's experienced IT faculty share their industry knowledge and practical solutions to help you succeed in one of today's most sought after fields. With accelerated classes and year-round program starts to help you earn your degree faster. Register today at stratford.edu/2018. That's stratford.edu/2018, where you'll also find details on Stratford's limited time $15,000 IT scholarship competition to help you achieve your degree goals. Get complete information now at stratford.edu/2018. Stratford University, changing lives, one student at a time.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We're in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. I'm Dr. Richard Schertz. And now it is time for
Profiles in IT.
You know, you go away for a month, and then I forget how to do stuff.
And then right in the middle, my earphones died, and I couldn't get them back. Now they're back.
Okay, so it threw me off a little bit.
Today we're going to feature Marcin
Klazinski.
Klazinski. What do you think?
Noted linguist Andrew Mitchell, our adjunct professor.
Yes. Marcin Klazinski is best known as CEO and co-founder of the internet security company Malwarebytes.
Andrew says, if you want to be technical about it, the true Polish pronunciation is Klaczynski.
Klaczynski.
Am I right? Okay. Andrew's nodding.
Okay.
Klaczynski.
Klaczynski. Oh, I should have actually asked their expert,
you didn't know.
Linguistic
expert. We didn't know that the linguistic department was staffed on a Saturday morning.
Klaczynski. What is it?
Klaczynski.
Klaczynski.
So the CZY is like a CH.
Okay. Klaczynski.
Klaczynski.
Okay. Marcin Klaczynski. Klaczynski. I'm working on it. Klaczynski. I rehearse this thing for hours.
In front of the mirror at home. You're drinking that glass of wine that you always pour at 2 o'clock in the morning. That might have something to do with it.
You know, the wine. I pronounced it perfectly when I had a glass of wine.
There you go.
Marcin Klaczynski.
I think we should have you do a show with wine in here and see what happens.
Is best known as CEO and co-founder of the internet security company Malwarebytes. He was born in Lutz, Poland, November 1st,
where's Andrew when we need him?
1989. Lutz, Poland in 1989. His family immigrated to the United States when he was just 3 years old, but he's proud to say that he speaks Polish because they spoke Polish at home.
Uh-huh.
He was fascinated with flying, and he obtained his pilot's license while he was still a junior in college. But here's the thing. This was after he started Malwarebytes.
Uh-huh.
He was already a millionaire. So he became a pilot after
the fact.
After becoming a millionaire.
Well, it's a good thing to have money to do that because it is. Being a pilot is an expensive proposition.
He attended Fenton High School in Bensonville, Illinois, and received a Bachelor of Science from the University of Illinois in 2012. That was the year after he became a pilot.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as a teenager, Kleczynski found a job working as a technician in a computer repair shop in Chicago. Now, that people come in with their computer infected with viruses. These guys wouldn't do anything to try to remove it. They just reformat the hard drive. That was their fix. They didn't have to figure out anything. And he says, well, this isn't very informative, but that's what they did. So he didn't really pay much attention to it until his mother's computer became infected. And she told him that she's got valuable files on that hard drive, and he had better not reformat the hard drive, and he had better fix it for her. So the pressure was on. So he posted a request for help on Spyware Info, which was a popular forum at the time. And he got feedback from Spyware Info, and using that feedback, he was able to fix his mom's computer without reformatting the hard drive. And then that gave him an idea. He says, you know, there's probably a need for some kind of software that would do this, because the traditional software programs like Norton Antivirus really didn't clean it up. It didn't clean up the problem for him. So he got to become friends with one of the administrators of the forum there, and they had a domain name that they wanted to sell, Malwarebytes. So he bought Malwarebytes.com from his admin friend there at the forum. And he decided, okay, maybe I should make a company out of this. But it sat just dormant for a while. That was in 2004. So then he began writing his own free software tools in Visual Basic. And he worked with one of the Spyware Info forum regulars, Bruce Harrison. And together they wrote the first version of Malwarebytes. Now, and then this is about the time he started college. So in 2006, he continued to work on it. He told his roommate about this project, and he and his roommate started working on more malware software. And they developed something called the Rogue Remover.
Which is different than Rouge Remover.
Yes. Yeah, different than Rouge Remover. This is the Rogue Remover. This was a utility that targeted rogues.
I would assume so, now, and not Rouge.
That's right. Now, what it is, rogues were malware programs that would go on the computer, and then they would tell the user, you need to install antivirus software. And so you go here, and you put in your credit card information, and we'll sell you antivirus software, which will then clear up some bogus infection that you have. And this was a way to steal credit card information, and people fell for it. So he wrote a program that would remove those rogues that were stealing credit card information. Rogue Remover proved to be very instrumental. It was one of the core components as they were developing Malwarebytes anti-malware.
That's a great name, by the way.
Rogue Remover.
I love that.
Yeah. Which one?
Rogue Remover.
Rogue Remover. Oh, yeah. Kleczynski was able to set up a forum where he basically uploaded his new versions of Malwarebytes, and that allowed him to improve it because he got constant feedback. He didn't charge much for it at all. And then finally, he reached to a point that was getting to be quite a professional product because he got all this feedback from the forum, and he formally launched, Kleczynski and Harrison formally launched Malwarebytes January 21st, 2008, while he was still studying computer science at the University of Illinois. Bruce Harrison became VP of Research for Malwarebytes, and they also hired Doug Swanson, who was an experienced freeware development technician. The first year, they made $600,000 selling the software. And they actually, you know, never met much during that time. They just were working remotely as kind of a virtual company. In 2014, Malwarebytes received a $30 million funding investment from Highland Capital. In 2015, Malwarebytes treated 250 million computers worldwide, and that represents 20 to 25% of all the working business computers. In 2014, the number of users grew from 25 million to 35 million, and his revenues took off to grew by over 1,600%. In 2016, Malwarebytes unveiled an anti-ransomware package, Endpoint Security, and announced that it raised another $50 million from Fidelity Management. In 2014, Kleczynski won the Silicon Valley Journal's 40 Under 40 Award and the Ernst & Young Entrepreneur of the Year Award. He reportedly made his first $1 million by the time he was 19.
I plan on making my first million by the time I'm 119.
So I'm telling you, Malwarebytes, it's very light. It doesn't slug your, you know, it doesn't load your computer down. And you can really run Malwarebytes, you know, along with antivirus, and it's not too bad. So this Malwarebytes, and you can get free versions of it. You don't have to get the full blown version. And so if you just want to get a cheap antivirus software, Malwarebytes is good, and I recommend it. And now you know about the guy who started it.
Indeed you do. And I hope you're paying attention, because we're about to prove that lunch sometimes can be free by playing the pop quiz here on Tech Talk Radio, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 103.5 FM HD2, 103.9 FM HD2. Watch us do the show by downloading the Periscope app to your device and following us at WFED Tech Talk.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
Ready to make a real difference in 2018? A degree in cybersecurity, digital forensics, or networking and telecommunications could help you secure your future as you help secure the world. Stratford University is now enrolling for 2018. Classes start January 8th with career-focused IT degree programs to fit your busy schedule, on campus and online. Let Stratford's experienced IT faculty share their industry knowledge and practical solutions to help you succeed in one of today's most sought-after fields. With accelerated classes and year-round program starts to help you earn your degree faster. Register today at stratford.edu/2018. That's stratford.edu/2018, where you'll also find details on Stratford's limited-time $15,000 IT scholarship competition to help you achieve your degree goals. Get complete information now at stratford.edu/2018. Stratford University, changing lives, one student at a time.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Live from Washington, it's the Stratford University Pop Quiz with Andrew Mitchell, Jim Ross, featuring Mr. Big Voice, with musical guest, the Stratford University Junkyard Band, and your host, Dr. Richard Schertz.
Oh, yes, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You can sit down
now,
please.
They really missed you.
Please. Oh, yeah.
They missed you terribly.
Oh, and I missed them, too. It was
good. That sounded so sincere.
I missed them so much.
You went to the... Oh, God. Was it the guy from Facebook?
That's right.
School, School of Sincerity.
Mark Zuckerberg.
The Mark
yes.
Zuckerberg School of Sincerity.
That's right.
We're so sorry. So very sorry.
So this is not simply a radio show. This is a classroom of the airwaves.
Yes.
And we're going to test to see whether you've been listening attentively to the to the lessons. Yes. Earlier in the show, I, of course, talked about Marcin Kleczynski. Ba-ba-ba-bum! CEO and co-founder of the internet security company Malwarebytes. Now, he was quite a young millionaire. He achieved his first million while he was still in college and making quite a bit of money there. And as soon as he became a millionaire, what was the first thing that he did?
Well, I was waiting for something else. But what was the first thing that he did?
If you know the answer to today's question, gosh darn it, pick up the phone and dial us now. If you're calling from west of the Rockies, It's 877-936-9333. If you're calling from east of Playa del Shirts, Virginia, it's 877-936-9333. If you're flying in your aeroplane over Canada, call us on the wildcard line, 877-936-9333. And of course, as always, the international line is 877-933-9333.
Yes, and if you're trying to reach us from Chhattisgarh, India,
wow,
you can reach us on from using Skype. Simply connect to Tech Talk Radio 1, and your call will be forwarded to the studio free of charge.
Andrew Mitchell, our adjunct professor for prize distribution and crowd control, is standing by to take your call, so dial now.
So let's talk about the word of the week, selfitis. Selfitis. Are you obsessed with taking selfies?
No, okay, so do you think it's selfitis or selfieitis?
No.
There's only one eye, so yeah, I guess you're
selfitis,
right, selfitis.
Selfitis. I mean, it could be selfieitis, but...
But it's not spelled selfieitis.
No, it isn't. No, this psychologist, they're very learned people. They call them selfitis.
I'll back off.
Because you see, if you take selfies all the time, you're focused on yourself.
Yes.
And so you have a case of selfitis.
Uh-huh.
And the selfie is merely a symptom.
It's a manifestation.
A manifestation of selfitis.
Mm-hmm.
Chances are, if you have selfitis, you've got a genuine mental condition that makes you feel compelled to constantly take photos of yourself and post them on social media. So there are a few people. The Kardashians, I'd say, have selfitis.
Yes.
Wouldn't you think so?
I would agree with that. With a capital S.
Now, the term's been around since 2014 to describe obsessive selfie taking, but it has not been backed by science until now.
Mm-hmm.
Researchers from Nottingham Trent University and the Agonar School of Management investigated the term and discovered 6 motivating factors.
Okay.
Those who suffer from selfitis generally are seeking to boost their confidence. They're seeking attention. They're seeking to improve their mood, make memories, conform with their social group, and be socially competitive. Typically, those with the condition suffer from a lack of confidence and are seeking to fit in with those around them, and may display symptoms similar to other potentially addictive behaviors. Now that its condition has been confirmed, it's hoped that further research can be carried out to learn how and why people develop selfitis.
Well, this is like a subset of what social media, in particular Facebook, has done to us. Everybody,
that's right.
Everybody shows the best parts of their life. Nobody ever shows
exactly
where they got drunk and trashed the living room on Facebook.
They don't show that.
It's everybody's perfect little life, and that's sort of what...
That's kind of another example of selfitis. And then, mm-hmm, I guess people that post all the time on Facebook, maybe that would be postitis.
Postitis. I like that.
There could be another item there.
I think you may be onto something. We do not have a winner yet.
So let's go back, and I'll just review the question.
Yeah, go. Please do.
Yeah. Marcin Kleczynski. This just comes back. I have to pronounce his name again. Co-founder of Malwarebytes. He became a millionaire at age 19. He immediately went out and learned to do something. And it was always his dream to do this. What was that?
I think that you should get a prize for pronouncing the name correctly.
I would hope so.
And so the number is 877-936-9333. 877-936-9333.
Dial now.
Ooh, whoa. Now, Amazon can now drop off deliveries to your trunk as well as to your home.
I'm not sure I like this.
As a Prime member, you can get your Amazon packages securely delivered right to your vehicle parked at home or at work or any other locations which are near your address book.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is the thing. They've actually had trouble with people getting deliveries in their house. Did you read the case last week where somebody delivered a package to the person's house and the delivery man stole the puppy?
I did not hear that. They stole the puppy.
They stole the guy's puppy. and then he emailed Jeff Bezos.
Jeff Bezos, my dog is gone.
He said, you know, your guy came, delivered the thing, my puppy was gone. Jeff Bezos answered his email.
Really?
Said, I'm going to check into it. They contacted a guy in his city. The guys and the delivery guy said, "No, I didn't see a dog." But
wow.
But they were suspicious. So the employee, the Amazon employee, went to the house of the delivery guy and found the dog. And they returned it.
This sounds like a KN episode of Monk.
It was a major thing. So anyway, so people are saying, look, I don't want to open up my house. And so they got the idea, well, why don't we just drop it off to the trunk of your car? Now, that's actually not bad. Sometimes you want to get a delivery package while you're at work. So if you've got a 2015 or newer car that has OnStar or Volvo OnCall, now that would be in a Chevrolet, a Buick, a GMC, a Cadillac, or a Volvo, you can actually link your Amazon key to either OnStar or the Volvo OnCall service.
That's crazy.
Then what you do is the Amazon driver, they're looking around, they can use satellite location to locate your car.
This is crazy.
And then when they get there, they notify the service that they've got a package to drop off. The service unlocks the trunk. They put it in the trunk, and then they close the trunk.
Do they notify you at the time that this is happening?
Yeah, you are notified whenever there's a delivery. Now, this in-car delivery is available in 37 cities now, including Atlanta, Austin, Houston, and most importantly, Washington, D.C.
Wow.
And so they had a small pilot of this thing in Germany, and it worked quite well. So people that don't want to let someone in their home may not mind letting them in their trunk.
So yeah, I guess you're right.
As opposed to letting the box sit on the front porch and get stolen.
So, well, and you know what? That's a very valid point. So what are your feelings about this?
I think the car is a better option.
You think so?
Yeah, because it's limited vulnerability. They're not in the whole house.
That's true. But so here, I'm thinking this. This is the next scam. Mm-hmm. People start scoping out parking lots, waiting for the Amazon guy to show up. Something goes in somebody's car, they leave, and then people break into the car
and steal.
Break
in the trunk. Yeah, that would be the next thing.
There's always something to screw up a good idea.
That would be the next thing. But at least they've got to break into the car. They just can't go waltz up to
your house and
take it. Because people follow the delivery truck, and they just scarf up stuff as it's being delivered.
Do you know? This You don't know this because I'm about to tell you this. The other radio station where I work, which is not necessarily in a bad part of town, uh-huh. in Baltimore, when the FedEx guy comes, there is an off-duty cop who follows that truck around in his personal vehicle to make sure that nothing happens to the UPS guy.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
He waits out of the parking lot, make sure the truck stays in one piece.
Amazing.
I know.
Amazing.
And on that note, I think it's time for us to give away some food.
Okay, very good.
Let us go to line numero dos, and this is Ron calling us from Southbridge, Virginia. Ron, good morning. How are you?
Just fine, and you?
Very well, thank you. Dr. Schertz, please do the honors.
This morning we talked about Marcin Kluczynski. He, of course, is CEO of Malware Bytes. After he got his first $1 million in college, what did he do to celebrate?
He took training and became a pilot.
That is correct.
Is the correct
answer. Correct.
Ron, thank you very much for calling and listening and playing a pop quiz. That's what we call it?
That's a pop quiz.
Hang on the phone here. We're going to send you back to Andrew Mitchell, who handles all of the dirty work on this job, all the things that are too complicated for us to handle. And he will take your information. This is Saturday morning, and you are listening to Federal News Radio on 1500 AM, 103.5 FM HD2, and 103.9 FM HD2. And you can also follow us on Facebook. Where are we on Facebook, Doc?
Tech Talk Online.
Tech Talk Online. And you can watch us do the show by following us on Twitter. I'm sorry, on Periscope. I'm having trouble with all this social media stuff.
Yes, I know.
At WFED Tech Talk, and you can watch us do the show live. We'll be back in just a minute.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
ready to make a real difference in 2018? A degree in cybersecurity, digital forensics, or networking and telecommunications could help you secure your future as you help secure the world. Stratford University is now enrolling for 2018. Classes start January 8th with career-focused IT degree programs to fit your busy schedule on campus and online. Let Stratford's experienced IT faculty share their industry knowledge and practical solutions to help you succeed in one of today's most sought-after fields. With accelerated classes and year-round program starts to help you earn your degree faster. Register today at stratford.edu/2018. That's stratford.edu/2018, where you'll also find details on Stratford's limited-time $15,000 IT scholarship competition to help you achieve your degree goals. Get complete information now at stratford.edu/2018. Stratford University, changing lives, one student at a time.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome to Tech Talk Radio. We're in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. Let's talk about some apps to keep your kids from texting and driving.
Mm-hmm.
This is becoming a big problem. People, they can't stay away from their cell phone if it's bumping, you know, if they're getting, it's beeping and vibrating and giving them all sorts of notifications. It's just hard to stay away from it. So there are a few things that you can do in order to just turn off all those notifications, which I think would be a big help to keep kids off of their cell phones. Now, iPhone has something very nice. They have something called Do Not Disturb.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
usually that's used, you know, you're going to sleep at night. You can put it on Do Not Disturb, and you'll get no notifications in the middle of the night. But they've added an additional feature to Do Not Disturb. So you can click on the Do Not Disturb. You go to Settings, and then you click on Do Not Disturb, and then it will open up a menu, and there's something called Do Not Disturb While Driving. And when you click on Do Not Disturb While Driving, you've got three options. One would be to automatically turn on Do Not Disturb.
Does it figure that out
because you're moving? Because uh-huh. of the GPS. Or it will say when connected to car Bluetooth, turn on Do Not Disturb. Or you turn it on manually. Pick whichever one fits your situation. So your kids, you could actually set up the Do Not Disturb to be automatically. So whenever your kids are in the car, they won't get any phone calls, they won't get any text messages, they'll get no notifications. That's actually a pretty nice feature.
Not bad.
Now, they can turn it off, but you could say you expect them to leave it on. And I think it's a way for them to stay away from it. They're also, but that's just the iPhone. If you've got an Android, there are a couple of other apps that you can use. And now these apps work in either Android or iPhone. One is Lifesaver. Now, Lifesaver blocks all texts and calls while driving. It also alerts parents when a child arrives at their location safely. It tracks mileage and does a lot more, and it's available for both iOS and Android, and it offers many parental options. So Lifesaver is a very good way for parents to keep track of what their kids are up to and also to block this text while driving. Now, of course, they could disable it, but then the parents can tell that. There's also an AT&T drive mode. Now, this is a simple one, but it gets a lot of things right. It automatically turns on when it detects movement above 15 miles an hour. It blocks all notifications. It would then automatically disable itself a few minutes after the vehicle stops moving. Even though it's called an AT&T app, it's available for all users regardless of the carrier, and it's available for both iOS and Android. So either one of these options are pretty good options.
Have you ever gotten the reply back from when you've texted somebody who has this turn on?
No, I've never done
that. I actually
have.
The message comes up, I can't text right now, I'm driving, or something along that. But
yeah.
It says, I can't be disturbed right now, or something along that line.
That is pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen, there's a Ford commercial out. Ford has a lot of young driver protection things in some of the new cars where you can preset how loud the radio goes.
Wow.
You can, when you get in the car, and I suspect it has to be if they put the phone on Bluetooth,
mm-hmm.
that it will forward all the calls directly into voicemail, and their phone won't ring while they're in the car. And you can actually also set the top speed that the car will go.
Wow.
That's pretty neat.
That is pretty neat. That's right. That is a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
Amazon is having a problem with fake reviews. Now, thousands of Amazon account holders are part of an extensive, invisible workforce which is fueling the fraud economy. buyers are unwittingly purchasing inferior or faulty products. Now, the system that creates these reviews is a complicated web of subreddits. These are, you know, these are forums, invite-only Slack channels, private Discord servers, closed Facebook groups. This is where they communicate. And they basically have ways to get paid for doing these great reviews. Now, you have to be a verified user. And so what will happen is that these companies will reimburse you if you buy their product with, you know, with your credit card, and then if you leave a five-star review. So it looks like a verified user is getting a product and getting reimbursed for it, and Amazon can't detect it. Now, there are now artificial intelligence tools out there that sort of look for the hallmarks of like a fake review. They sort of, because they tend to cut and paste the same thing. They tend to say the same thing. And so they've done a study on it, and, you know, about 12% of the reviews are fake on Amazon, and that is a, you know, a lot. It turns out that in a 2011 survey, 87% of consumers said that a positive review confirmed their decision to purchase a product. But really, of people who buy products, only 3 to 10% ever leave reviews. And the only way that an Amazon product can really get up in the listing is have a lot of five-star reviews. The only way to do it is to buy it. And so companies are buying reviews.
That's crazy.
And so typically what I will do when I look at the Amazon, okay, this data says 9.1% of the reviews, they call them unnatural. It's just the phraseology. So what I do is I look for, if there are several thousand reviews, too many to be faked. And then if you will look at, suppose there are like some several, like three or four five-star reviews just glowing, and then you'll see three or four reviews that are that just say, this product is terrible. There's a complete disconnect. So I'm thinking those really five-star reviews are fake, and that the bad reviews are the real one. So you start looking for an unnatural flow in these things. You start looking for the bad. But Amazon's got a problem here, and they don't really have a way to fix it. But it's going to be becoming a bigger and bigger problem. South Korea's largest cryptocurrency exchange is under investigation. Now, this is the thing with Bitcoin and these cryptocurrencies. You know, there's a lot of fraud going on with these, especially if you store your cryptocurrency at one of these repositories. See, if I were going to buy Bitcoin, I would take my Bitcoin and put it on a thumb drive, and I'd store it. I'd store it at home safely. I wouldn't put it on one of these central repositories. And then when I wanted to spend my Bitcoin, I'd have my Bitcoin wallet on a thumb drive, not even hooked to the internet. And then if I want to spend a Bitcoin, I just put my thumb drive into my computer and then spend my Bitcoin. Now, I'd make certain to have my thumb drive backed up, because if you have, suppose you have $50,000 worth of Bitcoin, you'd hate to lose it.
And it gets lost or corrupted, as we know, thumb drives have a tendency
to. You would hate to do that. And so the authorities are investigating Upbit's computers and account sheets to review their crypto holdings. They haven't really pressed charges yet, but it appears that Upbit users are withdrawing their funds from the exchange en masse, and there may not be enough money to cover everything. South Korea shifted focus from outright ban of cryptocurrencies to defining regulations for cryptocurrencies. This is becoming a bigger and bigger problem. Four executives from two different cryptocurrency exchanges, including CoinNest, South Korea's fifth largest cryptocurrency exchange, were also arrested last month for charges of embezzlement and fraud.
Mm.
The last chance for net neutrality. Of course, the FCC overturned Obama's net neutrality rules. They said, look, we want the marketplace to decide over how we allocate bandwidth on the internet. But the Democrats are trying to bring a bill up to the Senate. So all of the Democrats plus one Republican are trying to force a Senate vote. And it looks like, because they've got one Republican who's switched over, and because Senator John McCain is not going to vote, they may have enough votes to pass this thing in the Senate, where they are basically going to file a discharge petition, which was formally needed to trigger a Senate vote, and they hope that the vote will be scheduled by June 12th. Because the Democrats are trying to block the elimination of net neutrality on the internet. The FCC did what, and what this issue is, there people in who are in favor of net neutrality say that the internet service providers who provide all the bandwidth should have no way to control traffic on their internet. They need to make they need to be agnostic, make the bandwidth available to anyone. And by and large, they do that. But if they, for instance, install new fiber optic software to increase the bandwidth, they're not allowed to make a fast lane to get repaid for their money. So they can't create an express lane. And if that would be like, if you can't charge more for the express lane, nobody's ever going to build an express lane. So the Republicans say this is going to inhibit technology investment. And the Democrats say if we allow for fast lanes, it's going to lead to unfair business practices. Mm-hmm. So it's the great divide. So the Democrats are in favor of it. Now that the FCC is a three Republicans on the board and two Democrats, they basically eliminated it. And my feeling is that the internet does better without regulations, or probably better off without it, and trust the companies to do the right thing. And if they do the wrong thing, then people can just go and use another company. Fusion could be on the power grid in 15 years, but I don't really think I have enough time to get into
probably
fusion.
Not. No.
I'm just looking at thing here.
Yes.
Listen, we love your emails. You know, you can send us emails at techtalk@stratford.edu, and we'll get back to them as soon as we can.
Mm-hmm.
We also, you know, enjoy talking about technology. The one reason that we have this show to talk about technology is that we believe that technology is really extremely simple. You just have to sort of be aware of it to see where things are going.
Well, that's the thing. It seems intimidating at first, right?
At first. But things don't move as quickly as you think. Like the internet, the protocol on the internet, TCP/IP, was developed the summer of 1973.
Mm-hmm.
And so things move slowly, and you have to be aware of standards and trends. And so what we try to do on the show is we try to explore the trends so people can see where the technology is going. We try to stay out of the weeds as much as we can. Sometimes I drop in the weeds, and Jim and you save me before I go too
deep. I don't know about
that,
but sometimes some of the trips into the weeds are fun, and it's a look behind.
It is. It is kind of a look beyond. And so we hope that you will enjoy technology because of shows like Tech Talk. We love your email. Email us at techtalk@stratford.edu. Go to the Stratford University website at stratford.edu. Check out the programs there and tell them you heard about those programs on Tech Talk Radio.
Tech Talk Radio is sponsored by Stratford University. For more information on courses at Stratford University, call 1-800-444-0804. Thanks for listening to Tech Talk Radio Online.